making an even bigger mess.
Oh, for sure.
No.
No.
It's all bad.
Hard pass on
the
all of
hardest all of, it. Of passes.
I want none of it.
No. No.
Wow.
No. I don't want any of
I love
that.
This person. That wasn't a judgment call on them. But
no. I might judge them a little bit.
Well, you know who the friend is.
Still hard pass.
Yeah, no, hard pass, absolutely.
Still judging a little. Like, I know you, and yeah, you're great, but... Mm. No. No. Oh, good Lord. Ugh. My eye parts are real itchy.
We're recording, by the way.
I know. Fuck.
I see it.
I know.
I see it. Yeah.
Well, fuck.
I mean, I can stop and start again.
No, absolutely not.
If that's a continuation of our.
No,
our
no, we're good.
Earlier, okay.
We are good. Welcome to Ghosts and Hoes.
Ghosts and Hoes.
Ghosts and Hoes, a paranormal podcast where we talk about all things spoopy, cryptids.
Yes.
Aliens.
Yes.
Motherfucking witchcraft.
Sometimes.
Murder most fucking foul.
A lot of the times.
And concerts we do not want to fucking go to.
Especially today.
Yeah. I'm not gonna go into the specifics on that just in case, because I don't want to embarrass the person that pitched me.
No.
Yeah. Just know. All bad.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely
you know those,
never.
You know those water crackers you can find at the Safeway where it just says entertaining crackers?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
That is the concert. They... That's all you need to know.
Solid.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Good work.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Entertaining crackers. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Hundo
just, I mean, yeah.
Hundo
yeah.
P.
So, well, fuck. Do we have any backhoes?
Always.
Always and forever.
Neither of you have introed the show, introed yourselves.
We said the Ghosts and Hoes.
Did we?
Yeah.
You just weren't listening to
wasn't
me, man.
Listening.
I did the whole fucking thing.
Dope.
Just a little disassociation.
Might cut that. We'll see.
No.
Felt cute. Might cut later.
No.
Y'all don't make that decision.
We did. It's okay. I've been in that moment several
Ooh,
times.
Lord.
Where I'm like, did that happen? Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
that
but you don't call it out blatantly and aggressively.
No.
Oh boy.
Well, it's okay. You're just getting me back for earlier with my glasses.
Oh, that's right.
None oh, that
were,
was funny.
None of you were here for that, though.
No.
No, I was.
Okay.
I was.
I'm just
going to
mention it. Because it still is funny.
It
I don't
is funny.
Think it, I don't think it's that you had to be there.
No.
I put my headphones on and pulled the mic in and just went, hey, I can hear myself. And Walt's response was, I need to put on my glasses. So aggressively.
I was like, wow, I'm sorry. I didn't need. There was no reason.
Like, I had just asked you to read aloud several times.
Right? Not at all how that happened. I don't know why I panicked for a second for no good reason at all. There really was no reason. It's like, I'm so sorry. That was insane of me.
So, to which I return that, I am so sorry. That was insane of me.
It's one of them days.
It is. Holy
it
shit.
It truly is.
I love that, though.
It truly
though.
Is.
Well, yeah. Fuck. Shit. It's yeah. not super warm today yet, so I have a hoodie on.
It's a bit
it's
warm
weird.
In here, but I also just took a shower, so
yeah.
I might just be regulating.
Yeah, probably.
It's all right. So, well, fuck. All right, backhoe away.
Backhoes, yeah. So let's actually do the thing.
First.
And foremost.
I'm going to start with the worst one.
Oh, God.
Because it is very upsetting.
Oh, shit.
And
is it an RIP or
no.
someone getting away with something?
Yes.
Oh.
Leslie Van Outen has been paroled.
Remind me of who she is.
Manson.
She was one of the Manson family members that killed the LaBianca family. Was part of that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom originally struck it down, and then his decision was overturned, and he had until July 10th to fight back that repealing of his decision, but he chose not to. So when she will be released, I don't know. but she will be. And I believe that sets a horrifying precedent for people like Tex Watson, Bobby Beausoleil, and other horrific criminals.
How old are they all now?
In their 80s.
Okay.
So, I mean, like we said last week, I mean, they're in their 80s. It's not like, but still. It's awful.
Yeah, it's
kind of...
For others, it doesn't set a great precedent. You are still physically capable of harming people.
And that was my point as well. But Deborah Tate has released a statement because she has acted as usually an advocate for the LaBiancas family members, like going to the parole hearings and all that stuff on their behalf. So she released a statement, as did J.C. Bring's nephew. Mm-hmm. So you can find those. Yeah, it's not great. It's not great.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
That's fair.
She's not... The whole thing is like, you know, wanting to prove like, oh, look, they can be rehabilitated. And maybe some people can. But I don't believe that is the case here.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that it was a good call.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, obviously people can change and be rehabilitated. And
that doesn't apply to everything.
That doesn't always apply. And in this case with, and especially, again, read Deborah Tate's statement because she obviously knows firsthand and does her own research about what is going on in these prisons and what these people are doing. And she's like, it's not, she hasn't been, she's done little to no work in there. So, I mean, it could be a biased statement because, you know, but also I did not look into it myself to see what was going on in there. But, and from what I know, she has also never shown any remorse for what she did. So,
wow.
Is it possible that she has and I've missed it? Of course. The internet is a large place.
The internet is a large place.
Then there are certain corners that I don't ever want to run into. But, fair. You know, so that's a fucking bummer. Yep. And bad choices all around.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan. So that's fucking upsetting. But then, is why I started. This is why I started here, because I didn't want to ruin the good things that I have next.
Oh, good things. Well, yay. Thank you for starting with the bummer.
You got to get it out of the way. First, this is from 2017, but it was just brought to my attention recently, and it is great. This is a USA Today article written by Caitlin Greenockle. I love that for me and you.
And all of us.
And everybody. It's great. And she wrote for also the Hanover PA, The Evening Sun. Headline, accused pizza thief's name is Cheese.
Stop it.
Hanover PA, Sheldon Cheese is facing felony charges in adult court Friday after he and a friend were accused of robbing a pizza delivery man at gunpoint.
Sheldon Cheese stole pizza.
Wonderful.
Sheldon Cheese. And Sheldon Cheese. You know what that means. It's time for more actual names.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do go on.
Oh, but first, our friend Victor also sent me a meme that I needed to read to you first. Ask not for whom the Gertie herds. It herds for thee. Because as we all know, all hurdy-gurdies are haunted.
All hurdy-gurdies are haunted. All of them.
And now to the names.
Now to names.
Minnie Vanintwat. Elizabeth Shitchins. William Shitcockas.
Shitcockas.
Elizabeth Fatbutt.
God damn it.
Elizabeth Crotchrode.
There's a lot of Elizabeths.
Well, a lot of these names are also very historical.
Yeah.
Randolph Breasts.
Nice.
Good old Randy Breasts.
Randy Tits.
Randy Boobs. Good old tits. Randy Boobs.
Yep.
What else do I have? Sucky Johnson. Harry Juggs, which is just
great. Oh, I love that. Harry Juggs.
Fartin' Brown. Uh-huh. Mariana Hightwat.
It is up there.
Franklin Hamsucker.
Ah, sure.
Oh, these are good. Fad Juggs.
Fad?
Yeah.
Fad?
Okay. Fad Juggs.
Fad Juggs. Fad Juggs.
Yep. Frederick Waterfarts. Good old Freddy Waterfarts.
Here's the thing, Fred. Same.
We've all been there. Hyman Hammer.
Mm. Oh. Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's like a porn name.
It is.
Is that the lady reboot to Hebrew Hammer?
Yes. I'm just going to say it is.
Wow. Indeed.
You guys don't know what that
it
is.
It was from 1940. You know, I remember the Hebrew Hammer. This was from the U.S. Census in 1940.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Purdy Cock.
Ooh.
Perfect.
It Amen.
Marmaduke Buttflower.
Stop it!
Martin Ballwiener. Button. First name, Button. B-U-T-T-I-N. Button N. Wiener.
Wow.
Button and Wiener.
Wow.
Cunts Helms.
Oh.
Coitus H. Lincoln.
Stop it!
Bernard Nasty Cooter.
Nice.
No way.
Bernie
no way.
Nasty Coots.
Good old Bernie Nasty Coots.
Absolutely not. Someone's last name is Nasty Cooter?
Uh-huh.
Nasty Cooter.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Nude Bobono.
Wow.
Guy Sludge.
Mm. Wow.
And if you use a different inflection, Guy Sludge.
Wow. Oh.
There it is.
There it is.
John Schlodwiener.
No.
Nice.
And perhaps my favorite, unintentionally saved it for last, Pussy Waddle.
Stop it.
I couldn't if I tried.
Stop.
And we did get a message after last week's round of actual names from a listener, Katie, who was telling us, I'll just read it to you what she told us. Listened to today's episode and loved your segment on funny names. My 12-year-old daughter is obsessed with funny names, and she comes up with ridiculous ones for our family to use on DoorDash.
Ooh, okay. Mm.
My current favorites are Smork Daniels and Zach Arkansas.
Nice. Nothing I like beats, Zach Arkansas.
Nothing beats getting a boba tea delivery for Smork. And you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Nothing beats that. That Smork Daniels.
That's amazing.
And it's Zach Arkansas, which because it's spelled like the place, but in my head, I want to say Zach Arkansas real bad.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You just did, so.
And I just did.
And someone's name is Coitus. Like, hasn't that always meant that?
Right.
Like, you didn't know?
Maybe not. But also, how?
I also feel like Nasty Twat is probably.
Right. They're just. But
there's not a whole lot to confuse that with.
No.
Right. Well, Nasty Cooter.
Nasty Cooter.
Nasty Cooter. I mean, same.
But if we're like going
Cooter
from
also
like,
means turtle.
Okay.
In the South. But this person was a passenger on the Boston Passenger List Index from 1899 to 1940. So somewhere in there was Bernard Nasty Cooter.
Came a Nasty Cooter.
Wow.
Good old Bernie Nasty Coots.
I have something to add to the backhoes.
Please.
Yes.
It's kind of on the other side of the spectrum from what's her shit being released. This news could be better, but it's still nice. Y'all remember Larry Nassar?
Oh, Nassar. Yes. Mm-hmm. Larry Nassar.
Larry Nassar. Motherfucker got stabbed 6 times in the back.
Oh. He did.
Do you remember him?
In the back and the chest. He was a gymnastics coach that...
Who sexually assaulted his team members.
Yep.
Oh, is he dead?
No, he's in stable condition.
Oh, well.
But,
yeah.
Hey. A predator got stabbed.
Good old Doc Nassar.
Good old just, that. Is just, it seems
more
like
more of
a,
that, please.
Like a little game of cat and mouse to me. Like, we're going to stab you, but not fatally, because watch out, motherfucker. We're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm. I like the odds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, them's
the. Because you probably will.
Them's the rules.
Yeah.
In prison.
That's how that works. Don't fuck with little girls, boys, kids. Fuck.
Yeah, children are off limits.
Amen.
I don't think they were kids. Doesn't make it really much better.
Well, I mean, they're young girls.
Were they?
The gymnasts?
I thought they were Olympian gymnasts.
Well, yeah, but these girls train in their early teens.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's still a predator.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not a predator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
But I mean, I don't think all of them were over 18. Not that it mattered, but you know, there still is patients.
I forgot
and young
he existed
girls.
Until today.
And
when
young
I saw
girls.
That.
Also same.
Yeah. But also, I forgot I had this.
But a lot of these girls start training really. Oh, snacks.
Snacks.
These are Cinefuego Toast Crunch.
Ooh.
Sweet cinnamon heat.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm going to eat all of these.
So enjoy, because I don't think you can get them anymore.
Okay. Unless you like them and want to take them home.
Well,
they are yours.
We shall see. I have so much cereal at home.
Is it cereal
or just a snack? Well, no, it's not cereal.
Yeah, it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but with hot.
Huh.
It smells like Red Hots.
Ooh. Okay. So it's going to be very cinnamony.
Yeah.
Cinnamony.
Mmm. It smells like Christmas candies, like cinnamon Christmas candies.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah, it does.
It smells real good.
Wow.
Well, now
I just read something I didn't want to read.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
That's me.
It's about him.
Oh, yeah.
Three of them are under 13.
Ooh. See? Yeah, these girls start young.
Way gross. Way more gross.
Yeah.
In other news, here's some delicious cereal ASMR. Ooh. Oh, there's the heat.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Takes a second. No, it's like eating a Red Hot.
Yeah, it tastes like a Red Hot.
Yeah.
There it is. It was all over here.
Right.
And now it's in the back of my throat.
Yeah.
Ew.
I like it. I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Make that forever, please. Because sometimes a bitch just wants some Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Chips. Yeah.
I know. That's what I was like, because reading the package, I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to eat that like cereal or just like a toddler in a little baggie.
Right.
Like, I care. Mm-hmm. I did that. I bought the limited edition Frosted Lemon Cheerios.
Mm.
And they taste like Fruit Loops.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Feral Demon Baby likes cereal in a baggie.
Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
I like your shirt. I just saw what it says.
Thank you. Yeah, back the fuck up. So, well, shit, let's, who goes?
Me. I do.
You go.
I do. I don't know why I'm trying to hand you
garbage. Why are you handing him
I don't know. I don't know. Today is a day of...
We're both all over the place.
Of reasons I cannot explain anything I've done at all this day. And it just started. It just began.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because I did so many things this weekend.
Could be.
A lot of them against my will. I kind of was a prisoner in my home. That's why today's story is short.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's because...
bless it. Go on.
But we all know
that probably.
I'm somewhat of a self-proclaimed bog witch, yeah?
Yes, 100%.
Exactly. Well, I generally tend to steer clear of the outside. I do love a good waterway situation.
Mm.
The ocean? Yeah, sure. What happens inside of it's not my business, but I don't mind sitting near it. That's fine. But sitting alone next to a boggy marsh, totally motionless, except for my heart.
Mm.
You're welcome. Mm. It's a song. Mm-hmm. I'm sold. Mm. And what better way to commemorate myself than to share some of my favorite tales of witchy wetland lore.
Witchy wetland lore.
Because today, I'm going to tell you all about some of the legendary and often scary creatures from around the world that are said to inhabit the most glorious of outdoor spaces that even I love to visit, bogs and swamplands.
Yes!
Now let's get whimsical.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it. First, we've got the Naki.
Mm.
And according to Finnish mythology, Naki are malevolent water spirits that seek out humans to harass and or drown.
Ooh.
They're said to reside in the deepest areas of pools, ponds, lakes, and sometimes can be found in the murky water underneath bridges.
Ooh.
Depending on the region... because Naki also exist by other names in various parts of the world. There's Nock and Nock, Nix. They're just all kinds of, depending on where you are. But in some places, they're believed to be shapeshifters.
Okay.
In some versions of the lore, they appear as a handsome violin playing man who uses his music to lure young women to him and seduce them. In others, they'll initially appear as a beautiful and or friendly looking woman, but quickly reveal their true appearance as either a scaly or hairy monster. However, in most versions specific to Finland, the Naki are said to be genderless and shapeless demons made of seaweed that cannot be killed in their watery lairs. The legend of the Naki has been useful to parents in the past, as the creatures serve as a warning to children to stay away from the water, especially the deep parts, because the Naki love nothing more than to drown kids that get too close to the water's edge.
I'm all great!
Yeah. Why do they do this? Apparently, they like to drown children to build their army of servants.
Oh, okay.
Same.
Yeah. It's also believed that Naki can follow people home, where they'll attempt to lure the humans into their own well to die.
Oh, Jesus.
In the past, when a drowning victim was recovered from the water, people would point out the black spots on the body, which are likely some part of decomposition. Mm-hmm. And they would point to those as proof that the Naki had grabbed the person and pulled them under the water, where they'd meet their untimely demise.
What are you doing here in my waters?
You ever drink Bailey's from a shoe? But yes, those black spots, they would call them Naki's fingers.
Okay.
Because they look like little fingerprints from getting snatched under the water. Don't Google what are the black spots on corpses that have drowned. Because guess what? Number one, you're not going to find out. Number two, you might see some stuff.
Ew.
If you have your safe mode search situation turned off. Whoops. Uh-oh.
Don't do it.
I didn't find the answer. I was like, but what is that?
It's just pooling fluids under the skin.
Well, there's liver mortis, but when you sneeze too hard and burst a blood vessel in your eye, or no. Sometimes you get those little, it's a little tiny, pinprick weird spots, like red spots and stuff from blood vessels. I'm assuming it's something to do with that. Yeah. But I couldn't brain the right way to Google it.
Well, yeah.
So if anybody knows what that is called, let me know.
We have at least one mortician that listens, don't we?
I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure we do.
Temple.
Yeah.
They probably know what that shit's about.
Please let me know. Oh, nobody has answered my question about last week. The guy that was potentially a suspect in the murder of Betty Gail Brown. That was discharged. Website.
Right.
The Department of Justice website that said his status was discharged. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I know it makes me uncomfortable. So there's that. Next. We're all familiar with mermaids and sirens.
Yes.
Great. Let me introduce you to their Slavic cousins, the Rusalki, which can be found in pretty much any body of water. Like all folklore and mythology, these water-dwelling creatures have regional variances. So apologies in advance if I get anything muddled. But in any event, Rusalki are said to have originated in Slavic pagan traditions as a symbol of fertility. But in the 19th century, things changed. While they were originally their own entities, the story shifted so that human women could become a Rusalka, which is the singular of Rusalki. I don't think it's something that would necessarily be desired, though, because the methods to join the Rusalki ranks? Death.
Oh,
Violent one at that. Whether it was murder or suicide, the deaths usually involved drowning. And after that, they would become a Rusalka. They are not immortal creatures, however, and in some versions, they remain on Earth until they've gotten vengeance for their deaths. It's kind of a women scorned by a lover situation, betrayed, flinging yourself into the river because you are pregnant out of wedlock, and that kind of situation can create a Rusalka.
We're recording good.
Every love time that you do for this. Us. And every time.
I love that for us.
Come someday.
Is it always during yours?
Always is.
Okay. I thought in my head just now that it was always during. I smoked weed when I was making breakfast.
Nice. I can't do that. It's strictly nighttime only. Because you've heard me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have.
Yeah. It's just useless.
It's basically every other word, and every other word is wrong.
Generally. Generally. So my brain's working way faster than my mouth. So yeah, just vengeance situations. And like their Greek counterparts, sirens, they also like to lure men to their deaths, either by their beautiful appearance alone or a song. Before they, they lure the gentleman to them, and then they twist their hair around the man's feet, pull him underneath the water.
I love that.
Right? From there, it's said that the Rusalka's body becomes incredibly slippery, making it impossible for her victim to harm or escape her.
Ew.
Which is great. And from there, she'd either hold on to them and let them drown, or she would laugh and tickle them to death.
That's yes. Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's not at all a horrifying way to go.
Yeah.
Just wrapped up in the hair of some slippery hot bitch that's just cackling and tickling you until you die.
Well, I mean, there's worse ways to go. Right?
I don't know. That doesn't sound very good to me.
Okay.
Because also, her appearance could be a lie. And she might just be some weird, hairy, scaly, slippery water demon.
Sure.
Just depends, I guess. According to Carrie Sullivan over at the ancientorigins.net, the Rusalki, quote, are often described as being slim with large breasts. They are pale-skinned and have long, loose hair that is either blonde, light brown, or green. Their eyes are said to not contain pupils, and if the Rusalka is wicked, can be blazing green. Ooh. Invariably, the women wear light sheer robes as though made of mist. Rusalki are representations of universal beauty, and even the wicked ones are greatly admired and feared in Slavic society. End quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're also typically depicted with loose flowing hair, which goes along with the Slavic tradition of unwed women wearing their hair unbraided or loosely braided, since some lore revolves around the Rusalki being unwed, scorned, or betrayed by a lover. Mm-hmm. So they would be young women with loosely braided or loose hair.
Got it.
Yeah. Apparently, walks like a Rusalka is a Russian expression for girls and women with unkempt hair. It's me! She walks like a Rusalka. I love that.
That's funny.
Yeah. Like, oh, walking like a Rusalka today.
Yeah. Woof. Oh, yeah. A lot of days.
Big almost
messy bun.
Almost exclusively my days.
Yeah.
Only right now because you just did my hair.
Yes.
So yeah, I love that a lot. Sullivan also points out that not all Rusalka or all Rusalki are evil, saying the motivations of a Rusalka vary depending on where she is living. For in places where plant life is bountiful and crops grow well, such as in Ukraine and areas around the Danube River, the Rusalki are charming and playful. However, in harsher climates, the Rusalki are wild and wicked. These malevolent spirits would crawl out from the water in the middle of the night in order to ambush humans, especially men, fair, who they would then drag alive back into the watery depths.
Mm-hmm.
End quote. Unlike mermaids, Rusalki are tailless, and in some versions of their lore, they have legs and can walk on land. They're thought to be particularly dangerous in early June, like around the first week of June, during Rusalki Week, a tradition that was practiced and observed until the 1930s. During this week, it's said that the Rusalki leave their water to come on land, where they climb and play in trees and dance together under the light of the moon. Swimming during Rusalki Week was strictly forbidden, as it's believed a Rusalka would snatch you under the water unprovoked. And some versions say that the Rusalki aren't able to swim during that week either. It just depends on which region you're hearing the story from. And should you have the misfortune of happening upon the Rusalki while they are on land, you would be forced to dance with them until you died.
Yeah.
Nice.
Once the week was over, locals would have ceremonial burials to appease the spirits and banish them back into the water.
Okay.
Sticking with Slavic folklore, We've got the Vodyanoi.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I am so sorry if it's wrong, but that...
Sounds good.
It's, I'm pretty sure, correct.
Sounds great.
Thank you. This particular water spirit typically appears as an elderly man with long hair, a greenish beard, scaly body covered in algae and river muck, long toes, sometimes horns, a large fish-like tail, webbed paws instead of hands, eyes that, quote-unquote, burn like red-hot coals, and a frog-like face.
Wow.
So, scary old frog man.
That's a lot going on there.
Oh, and he's naked.
Great.
Like, fully nude.
Nude.
Fully nude.
Does he have a penis?
If he does, it's hiding under his beard.
Great.
He's also usually riding an old log. Just fully nude, straddling an old log in the waters.
There's a lot going on with this one.
The Vodyanoi, he's busy.
It's
and I don't mean that in the things that he's doing. He himself is busy.
A lot going on there.
Oh, sometimes he likes to ride his log always nude, but sometimes whilst smoking a pipe.
Sure.
Because why
would... Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't he be?
Sure.
Why wouldn't he be? And while all of that sounds hilarious, you do not want to cross the Vodyanoi.
I don't anyway. He sounds terrifying.
Agreed.
He's got paws and webs and tail and scales and fur
and algae.
It's too much.
And
it's too much.
Logs and
I
pipes.
Don't want it.
It's a lot.
I don't want it. Frog face? No thanks.
Right. Much like the Rasalki, he will drown your ass just for funsies.
Mm.
Whenever he gets pissed, the Vodyanoi likes to cause utter chaos by flooding whatever area he's in, destroying water mills, breaking nearby dams, and, of course, pulling people and or animals into the water to kill them. Sometimes it's said that he just lurks in the water, watching the shoreline and waiting for someone to wander just a little too close to the water so he can pull them in.
Mm-hmm.
In some tellings, he collects the souls of those he's drowned and keeps them in porcelain cups. Mm-hmm. While in others, he takes those hapless folks who wandered too close to the water and brings them to his lair, where he keeps them as slaves for eternity. Local millers, beekeepers, and fishermen tend to leave him offerings to appease him. And allegedly, if you go fishing, be sure to put some tobacco in the water and say, "Here's your tobacco, Lord Vodyanoi," and he will reward you with a great catch.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah. Sure, yeah.
Is there time for one more Slavic creature?
Sure.
Of course there is, because I wrote it and I said so. Next up is a species of female swamp demon known as the Shishiga.
Ooh. Swamp demons.
It is me.
Yes.
This is the most deeply personal piece I've ever written. They typically avoid towns and villages and prefer to reside in swamps, marshes, and forests far away from the human folk, which obviously, yes. They're said to have incredibly pale white skin and long, messy hair. Oh, and then, of course, my favorite description of them. Quote, "Shishiga are not fond of clothing. They are described as being naked little fiends," end quote.
Yeah.
Naked little fiends. Thank you. Huge thank you to Grim Lee's lab website for that description, because it is perfect. But yeah, another naked swamp goblin. You're welcome.
Love it.
So being that this piece is so deeply personal, when they say, when that quote was said,
yeah.
Did you feel seen?
I really did. I deeply felt. I felt it.
Oh, shit.
For I, too, am a naked little fiend in the privacy of my own home, which is, I wish, were further away from people. Unfortunately, for me, it is not. But ideally, yes. Any hoops. If you're wandering into Shishiga territory, you may catch them sitting on the shore, or perhaps, yet again, upon an old log, and brushing their hair and muttering to themselves.
Ooh.
Which we don't. We've talked about. We don't like it.
No, we don't like muttering hair.
But yeah, so you're just, you know, walking through a bog, and then you happen upon this very pale lady creature, lady adjacent, creature just brushing her hair and talking to herself.
Mm. Keep walking.
Already bad.
Just keep walking.
Well, of course, it gets worse. Because God help you if you should catch a glimpse of this. Because these sightings are omens for your upcoming drowning or otherwise mysterious death. Whether she's the cause of the death or merely a harbinger? Mm-hmm. Unknown. But it's best to avoid any area where Shishigar are said to live just in cases.
Make like Christopher and get walking.
Oh my God. Oh, I hate it.
It's not nothing from you? I figured you would have been all over that.
It's not the worst.
It's no, not like she should have laughed way harder at that.
I think she's trying not to. And is finding it much funnier that you're so upset.
God damn it. It's the perfect stupid joke for you to laugh loudly
oh,
to.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. So
I fuck myself. Well,
oh, bless.
Oh, shit.
Now, while the Shishiga tend to avoid humans, their love of harassing them sometimes takes over, and they'll sneak into town to make a little mischief, which I get. Again, deeply relatable. Mm. So sometimes they like to break into people's homes and steal stuff, which I've never. But I get wanting to harass people.
Straight up.
Like, just like, I'm bored. I'm going to sneak into town and cause a ruckus.
Yeah.
And they do. While they love a little petty larceny, it seems that the Shishiga love nothing more than to humiliate and harass drunk folk.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, they really hate drunkards.
Wow.
They'll break into taverns to steal money, which I don't think they have any use for, but hey, why not?
See, now I feel like this story is about me.
We're all a Slavic folklore creature inside.
We're all a sea witch at some point.
It's true.
Yeah. That is fucking true.
We all have varying levels of sea witchery inside of us.
It's true.
Now, so yeah, they bring into taverns, steal money that I don't believe they need, but why not?
Yeah.
They've also been known to cause quote unquote accidental lewdness.
Please do go on.
I can't because that's all I got.
Accidental. They cause accidental lewdness.
Yeah.
How lewd.
Lewd. And they've also been said to cause a drunkard's shirt or pants to fall off when they stand up from their bar stools.
There's the lewdness.
I think there's more accidental lewdness, but whomst knows.
Why, Kate, you're not wearing a bustle. How lewd.
And so, you know, they just, all of a sudden, drunk guy stands up from his stool, his trousers are around his ankles all of a sudden. And he's like, oh, the Shishiga did it. But some people think...
Sure.
That's exactly. Some people think the embarrassed drunk people blamed the Shishiga for their own drunken antics.
Ah.
The Shishiga made me do it. Sir, the Shishiga are not tequila. They did not make your clothes fall off.
Harry Twatcock, that was all you.
You just you and your poor choices. Next up.
Harry Twatcock?
That just came from her brain.
I know.
But it's good. Next up, we've got Eastern England's very own chief spirit of the bogs. That is a quote.
Do you go on?
Oh, I'm going to regret this one, but it's okay. The titty mun.
I am also the titty mun.
Mun, M-U-N.
Oh, no, I heard something I said.
Oh, okay. You're like, no.
Oh, I know. I said what I said.
Both things are true.
And I meant it.
Quite possibly the least terrifying entry on the list, but still not one you'd want to cross. Mm. As the legend goes, the titty mun was thought to control the mists and waters of the Carrs of North Lincolnshire, and the fens of South Lincolnshire and the Isle of Ely.
Okay.
The little old marsh man, which is, I love the way that sounds. He stood roughly the same height as a 3-year-old child.
Oh.
But had long white hair with a matching matted beard and wore a gray gown, which made him hard to spot in the mists at dusk.
Okay.
If you're picturing a bedraggled David the Gnome in a nightgown, same.
Yeah.
Same. As that's exactly what he looked like. Initially, he had a fairly decent relationship with the humans that lived around his waters, but that changed in the 17th century when Dutch engineer Cornelius Vermuyden...
Dutch names are hard.
Vermuyden.
Dutch names are very hard.
There's a U and a Y.
It's whatever you said is probably wrong.
I know, I'm
because
sorry.
Because Dutch names are so hard and they never sound the way they look.
Exactly. So, if you're Dutch... My apologies, and tell me how to say that correctly. But Cornelius was commissioned by King Charles I to drain the fens. Why? Uh-oh. Well, according to the Ely Museum's website, the king wanted to, quote-unquote, turn the wetlands into farmland because, another quote, draining the fens would reveal the super-fertile peat soil just beneath the water, making it ideal for farming.
Sure.
In theory, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. In practice, folks were pissed. And they actually actively worked to destroy all of this. And they were called fen tigers, I believe. Because, you know, they were ferociously pissed about this situation.
Love that.
And I'm sure there was also something about taxes. I saw the word and just blanked out because we know how I feel about taxes.
You're a real libertarian when it comes to taxes.
Don't you ever say that to me. I will scratch your eyes out.
Am I wrong?
I will murder you with my bare hands. Don't ever say it again. Don't ever say it again.
Do you like taxes?
I hate taxes, but mostly because I hate math and they scare me. But anyway, so the folks, they were pissed about this whole draining their swamplands. So was the Tidymun. Who was said to have placed a curse of pestilence on the villages involved in royally fucking with his home. The townsfolk were eventually able to appease the Tidymun by gathering under the new moon, pouring countless buckets of water into the dike, and perhaps most importantly, apologizing for all of the damage that had been caused. After that, relations between the villagers and the Tidymun went back to normal. During the rainy season, when the fens would flood and encroach on the towns, villagers would go out at night and call out, Tidymun without a name, the water soaked the earth again.
Oh, okay.
Until they heard the call of the lapwing bird, a.k.a. the peewit, which is apparently what the Tidymun sounds like when he laughs.
Okay.
And once they'd heard his birdie cackle, the villagers would go home and wake up to find that the floodwaters had receded.
All right.
This next entry isn't technically specific to any one earthly location, since they've been spotted in swamps across Europe and North America. They're known by many names. Jack-o'-lantern, Hinky Punk, Hobby Lantern, Asylum Lamps, Elf Fire, Kid of the Candlesticks, but you may know them best as Will-o'-the-Wisp.
Ooh.
Another name for them is Ignis Fatuus, which is medieval Latin for the Foolish Fire.
Okay.
Typically, these appear near the ground in bogs, marshes, or swamps and look like smaller balls of light or flames. To weary travelers, they can look like lanterns in the distance. If you follow them, they move further away from the safety of whatever path you'd been on and potentially closer to your death. Further lore on the mythology of the phenomena will depend on where you're at in the world, but can range from being lost souls, restless spirits, giant birds made of fire, or, in the case of the jack-o'-lantern, a creature condemned to spend eternity as a dancing light in a swamp for failing to steal an old man's soul.
Oof.
Yeah. In other tellings, like I mentioned earlier, they're believed to be lanterns belonging to various sinister entities that delight in causing travelers to get lost and or die.
Oof.
They were generally thought to be caused by elementals or fairies, but scientists have a more modern take on their origins. Swamp gas, ball lightning, or in some instances, bioluminescent fungus or animals.
Ooh, I like bioluminescence.
Yes, bioluminescence.
Try it one more time.
Bioluminescence fungus.
You were so close.
I think that's
you were so
I think,
close.
I think that's it.
Bioluminescent fungus.
There it is. There it was. Bioluminescent fungus.
Fungus.
Yes.
You did the work and it shows.
Oh, Oh, bless.
Oh, fuck.
Ay, ay, ay. Finally.
Finally.
The creature that inspired this list to begin with, the one, the only, Jenny Greenteeth.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Similar to the Naki, Jenny Greenteeth is an aquatic lady goblin.
Ooh, yeah.
Found, you're welcome. Found in the English swamps of Yorkshire, Lancashire, Cheshire, and Shropshire. She's typically associated with stagnant waterways that are covered in algae or duckweed, which is also known as Jenny Greenteeth.
Okay. In all the shires.
For reasons that will become apparent in a moment. But the waterways that she's typically said to be found in are covered with these plants in such, they're just so thick over the water that it looks like solid ground.
Thick.
It just looks like a part of a meadow because it's that thick.
And you walk on it and you fall in.
Yeah, because unfortunately, if you were to walk on it, you'd learn of nature's deception pretty quickly. Because you would plunge right into that water beneath you. And then the thick mat of greenery would close the gap right over you almost immediately.
Oh, boy. And you're done.
Yeah, it's not. It's not great.
That's not good.
It's not great. So people are like, well, Jenny Greenteeth, she likes to trap people underwater. So we're going to name this duckweed after her because she does the same. But it's kind of like a chicken and egg situation, I think. Like, was the algae in the plant already there? And then people assume it was because of this monster and they just named it after it. Either way, it doesn't really matter.
Yes.
They're both Jenny Greenteeth.
Got it.
And I fear, love, and respect them both. Now, again, Jenny is obviously thought to be responsible for these drownings, and her presence was also used as a cautionary tale to keep kids away from the water, because if you got too close, Jenny would reach out and snatch you up.
Mm-hmm.
This terrifying river hag is humanoid in appearance, with a thin frame, green skin, long pointed teeth, a pointy chin, tangled dark hair, huge eyes, and long arms with gnarled bony fingers ending with long, sharp nails.
Goo.
Should you wander too close to her swamp at any age, prepare to get got, because she's typically getting the kids and the elderly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You may be wondering why exactly she likes to attack people, aside from just for funsies.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the Naki, Jenny Greenteeth doesn't drown folks to make them her slaves, but she couldn't possibly drown children and the elderly with the intention to eat them, mm-hmm. right? To that, she would most definitely say, "Oh, indeed I do." And if you don't get the reference, let me once again ask you to remember or go watch the 1985 Tim Curry fantasy classic Legend. For you see, Jenny Greenteeth inspired one of the many villains in that film, the horrifyingly hideous and deeply relatable icon, Meg Mucklebones. Yeah. I related to her in the earliest of ages. I'm like, yes.
Meg Mucklebones. God, I haven't seen that movie in forever.
And there you have it. An introduction to just a few of my boggy brethren. And remember, if you're in a swamp and happen to see a lantern bobbing in the distance, no, you didn't. And do be sure to steer clear of the water's edge, because you never know who might be waiting to meet you underneath the surface.
Yeah. I just looked up Meg Mucklebones. I'm like, yep, that's exactly, yep. And that's probably why my brain exactly saw that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's been a million years since I've seen that movie, but I've seen it so many times.
Yes. Yes. Y-E-S. Yes. Sources. Finland.fi, Fran Weaver. Yoair.com, Heather Sykes. IMDb. Reddit.com, users TGBN. Tikar in Silma. And Revolver Cockatiel.
Yeah.
Great. Those were people discussing lore of the Naki.
Mm-hmm.
And at least one of them was definitely local to Finland.
Mm-hmm.
Grunge.com, DB Kelly, Pathios.com, Nina Niskanen, Wikipedia, IrishTimes.com, Brendan McWilliams, StoryNori.com, Jana and Birdie, which is a very cute website for children.
Mm.
I believe it is based in England, and you can listen to the story of the titty mun there.
The titty mun!
Like I did. It was very pleasant
the
and cute.
Titty mun.
Grimly.com, ancientorigins.net, Carrie Sullivan, ealymuseum.org.uk, oxfordreference.com, A Dictionary of English Folklore by Jacqueline Simpson and Steve Roud, and Folklore, Volume 94, Issue 1, by Roy Vickery from 1983. It was like, there's a whole folklore society in the UK, and it's very cute, and they had their own, like, it was like the UFO journal that I shared 100,000 times in those very random alien stories. It's just, but for folklorists instead of UFO stories. It was
love it.
Super cute. Obviously, cryptids.fandom.com, wisconsinwetlands.org, in an article by the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and heritagesouthholland.co.uk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fucking, there are several more.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Bog creatures. I was like, I could do this for days.
Too many.
There's a lot. So maybe someday there will be a part two of my other boggy brethren. But not today.
Well, I really struggled getting my eye parts on
you
today.
You sure did.
I was like, why are they not going on my face parts? That's really weird.
You all
so,
right
is your
there?
Back hurt?
Yeah. A little bit. I might need to go pop some pills.
One of those days? It's one of them days. Well, I have a story.
I love that for me.
I know. So today I'm going to talk about the mysterious death. Am I wearing the right glasses?
Yes.
Why am I? No, I'm not. I'm wearing my fucking driving glasses.
Uh-oh.
I put my glasses on. I was like, why is everything fucking fuzzy?
No.
Oh, please.
Are those ones for distance?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, wait a minute. I can't. No, this is wrong. Hold on.
My eye barts. They're wrong.
And I somehow, as I'm sitting here just cleaning them.
Didn't even
while you're
about
finishing
it
up your story and just not even fucking realizing.
To be fair, they're pretty similar.
They are similar, but Jesus, criminimini, like.
No.
Oh, God.
No.
Why am I being yelled at? Oh.
Don't scratch your lenses.
Oh, is this a special? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeti is a special cloth.
Yeah. It's a microfiber.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Being an adult.
Microfibes.
Never.
No.
Never.
It's your pack of these for like.
So I can see now. This is weird. Well, it's not weird. I have my fucking glasses on. Anyway, Jesus fucking Christ. Mm-hmm. All right.
Go on.
Today I'm going to talk about the mysterious death of Todd Gieb.
Oh.
So on July 2nd, 2005, the body of missing 22-year-old Todd Gieb was found in a private lake in Muskegon, Michigan. He was last seen alive at a nearby orchard party 21 days earlier.
Oh, shit.
And the police had concluded that Todd had probably left the party, found the lakes, go swimming, drowned. However, if that was the case, then this would have just been the shortest story I've ever told, so let's get into it, because it ain't.
Yeah.
So Todd, normal dude, he seemed to have everything going for him. Good job. He loved outdoor dude stuff.
Tom had it all.
Yeah. He was described as friendly, smart, and outgoing by everyone that knew him. On Saturday, the 11th of June, 2005, at around 7:30, he left the apartment that he shared with his cousin to go to the Half Moon Bar and Grill to meet up with some other friends. He and a friend left around 9:30, and she was taking him to an all-night kegger that was being held out in a nearby apple orchard, which is about a mile and a half from where he lived with his cousin. So, you know, the friend didn't want to go. Dropped him off. He was like, it's cool, you know, not a big deal. I'll walk home. So there's about 100 people at this party, and those that attended would later say that at around 12:45, things took a turn. There were some dudes from a neighboring town there that seemed to be looking for a fight, and things started getting pretty rowdy. A fight broke out that looked like it was going to turn into a full-on brawl. Mm. Now, it's not known whether or not Todd was involved, but either way, he decided it was time to dip. So he left the party on foot, and at 12:47, Todd called his friend who had dropped him off to the party to say that he'd had enough.
Sure.
And he was walking home, which, again, not a big deal considering home was close. But here's where things get fucky. Because at 12:51, he called the friend to say, he called the friend and all he said was, I'm in a field.
I don't like that.
Before the call got cut off.
I hate that. And also, I think I do know this case.
So she called back and heard only what was either heavy breathing or the wind before the call immediately ended.
I don't want to pick up the phone. I mean, ever anyway, but I really don't want to pick up the phone only to be answered by wind.
Right. Todd's phone was then used twice over the next few minutes in an attempt to call her back, with the last attempt being at 12:57 a.m. Then Todd's phone wasn't used again after that, nor were his bank cards or credit cards after that day. So Todd didn't make it home that night, and with the information given by his friend, he was reported missing, and there was a massive search put together to try to find Todd that included around 1,500 police and volunteers, as well as aircraft, who scoured the orchard and the area around the party, that the site of the party, and the surrounding marshes that all have waist-high grasses, as well as the stretch of road.
Oh, look at that. There's a marsh.
I know. We did it again.
Every time.
I know. as well as the stretch of road that he would have walked along to get home, but they found nothing, even after thoroughly searching the area three times. It seemed that Todd Gibb had literally vanished. That is, until July 2nd, 21 days after he had gone missing. A couple was walking by Ovidal Lake, and they saw someone in the water, just standing there. And at first, the couple didn't think too much about it, but then it struck them as odd because the person wasn't moving at all. The person was standing up in the water up to their shoulders with their head resting on their right arm like this. You know, okay. The arm was floating on top of the water like they're resting their head on
like there. Like when you're in high school and you fall asleep at your desk.
Yes, except in the water. The other thing that seemed kind of off was that the person appeared to be fully clothed, not moving. So they called the authorities thinking maybe that they were stuck. You know, the person wasn't responding to them. So when the police got there, they went out and they pulled out what they found to be a dead body from the lake. The young man was indeed fully clothed, and the authorities were able to identify him pretty quickly by the wallet that was still in his pocket. It was Todd. Standing. Can we talk about the fact that he was standing? Standing.
How did I miss that?
Standing in the water.
Well,
up to his shoulders, head resting on his arm.
I think my brain just was like, no, that can't be a thing.
Right.
It just didn't want it to be true, but it is.
Yeah.
And I don't, that makes me feel really uncomfortable in my chest.
Uh-huh.
Like, so, I don't.
Oh, it gets worse. So.
I mean, I know, but god right. damn, so, I hate that
idea. The police
idea.
Contacted Todd's family and told his mother, Kathy, that her son had been found, and they speculated that he had maybe gone for a swim the night of the party and drowned. Except, again, Todd was fully clothed, had been missing for 21 days, and Ovidal Lake had been included in the search area that they had gone over three fucking times.
I don't love that.
Three fucking times.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like it.
Right. And here's where it gets even weirder. According to his autopsy report, Todd had no external injuries, but had a blood alcohol content of 0.12. Leading the authorities to rule it an accidental drowning while under the influence of alcohol. Except, again, let me remind you, he had already been missing for 21 fucking days. 21 days.
Oh, boy.
21 days. And you are found standing in a lake, dead.
Where they've checked thrice.
With an alcohol content of 0.12.
And after 21 days, that shouldn't be apparent. I don't think it's how that works.
Nope. So it was deduced that he had gone to the party, gotten hammered, then left to go home before finding himself in that lake to drown. Despite the epically weird fuckery in this case, Todd's death was ruled an accidental drowning and the case was closed. Except the Gibb family in no way agreed with the official finding, which fucking fair, because when Kathy, his mother, saw a recovery photograph of her son, she immediately knew they were wrong, later saying, he was not in the condition to be there for 3 weeks. I did my research and found out what condition people would be like if they were in the water for 3 weeks.
That'd be unrecognizable.
And y'all, she was right. According to the autopsy report, Todd's remains only had moderate decomposition, and his clothing appeared to be fairly clean of algal biofilm, which is the thin slime film of bacteria that's usually found on the surface of most lakes. So there was no mention of insects, debris, or sand on the body, and well, there was no fucking water in his lungs.
Oh, so he clearly did not drown.
How do you die of accidental drowning with no water in your lungs? How do you do that? How is that a thing? Right? So in 2009, with the family trying to find out what had really happened to Todd, an independent investigation was done by Dr. Michael Sikirica, a board-certified forensic pathologist and CEO of Forensic Identification and Profiling Laboratory. Todd's autopsy report and recovery photos were reviewed by Dr. Sikirica, who showed the file to his team and other investigators and examiners, all of whom agreed with Dr. Sikirica that when Todd Giebe had been found in the lake on July 2nd, that he had only been dead for between 2 to 5 days.
Not
21. And despite these new findings, the Michigan State Police refused to reopen Todd's case.
That's a dumb call.
Right? So enter a new team of investigators. Former New York Police Department detectives Kevin Gannon, Anthony Duarte, Michael Donovan, and Professor of Criminal Justice Dr. Lee Gilbertson. And if any of those names sound at all familiar, that's because I said their names so many fucking times when I covered the Smiley Face Killers. Because that's right, y'all. They believe that Todd was a victim of the alleged network of unknown serial killers that targets college-age men and dumps their bodies in nearby waterways before leaving graffiti smileys at the death sites.
Which is all questionable
at best, if you'll recall. And there was no smiley face found anywhere near his. But again, you know, the MO is very similar. So in the 2019 Oxygen special, Smiley Face Killers, The Hunt for Justice, Gannon and Dr. Gilbertson met with Dr. M. Eric Benbow, a forensic biologist from Michigan State University, to re-examine Todd's case. Dr. Benbow noted that if Todd's body was in the lake for 21 days, he would expect to see more biofilm, more slime buildup. Dr. Benbow also stated that with Todd's head being above water, that there should be insects in the clothing, even in the mouth, in and on the ears, and in folds of the skin.
Yeah, that's just how that works.
That's where these flies will typically lay their eggs. They've evolved to be attracted to dead things within minutes to hours to a day. In Dr. Benbow and his team's many aquatic decomp studies, he said that carcasses are consumed pretty quickly and dramatically. So the three men visited the lake where Todd was recovered, and Dr. Benbow concluded that if a body was there, it would have been colonized with some type of aquatic insect.
Yeah.
So to prove that Todd had not been in the water for 3 weeks, as the police originally theorized, Dr. Benbow suggested putting swine carcasses into a pond for 3 weeks, dressed in clothing resembling what Todd had been wearing, saying that swine carcasses are really similar in terms of the way they decompose because the skin is very similar.
Yes, I feel like you mentioned it when you were talking about
the body farms. So Dr. Benbow replicated Todd's case using 5 pig carcasses, sampling 3 of them every other day and leaving 2 totally untouched for the entirety of the 21 days.
Science.
The carcasses had a lot of water insects within the first day, and by day 3, they had eggs. On day 21, the carcasses had completely collapsed from insect activity.
Blech.
And the clothes were covered in thick, green, biofilm algal layers. So, based on all of the independent examinations of Todd's case, his family is even more sure that he was murdered. Gannon and his team believe that Todd was put into the water shortly before he was found, which was corroborated by all the other experts and very strongly points to the possibility that he was in fact murdered. Yet, the Michigan State Police still didn't reopen the case.
What the fuck?
It would also later be found that Todd had traces of the antidepressants amitriptyline and dispyramine in his system, which he did not have a prescription for. So it's not known why he had taken them or if it had been put into his drink. And considering the fact that they can cause side effects such as hallucinations, confusion, agitation, cardiac arrest, coma, and seizures, it certainly seems suspect and highly fucking questionable.
Yeah.
So maybe he took them recreationally, or maybe something was slipped into a drink. So Kathy Gieb has continually fought to get her son's case reopened, but the authorities have refused to do so despite the evidence against accidental drowning. And Kathy has said, "We can't bring him back with an investigation, but Todd deserves justice. It's almost like saying Todd's life is worth nothing when we have all this evidence and no one turns back to see what happened."
Yeah.
And that is the very unsolved, very fucked up, very weird case of the death of Todd Gieb. So the conclusion, or the... that Gannon and his team, they think that he was being held somewhere.
Yeah, that would make...
And that he was put into the lake. Obviously. He was standing. Dead bodies don't stand. He was put there. And so in a lot of the smiley face murders, the bodies, when they are dumped, a lot of them look staged in that way. But... there's no way that he was in that water for 21 days for so many fucking reasons. First, the area was searched 3 goddamn times.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's say he was underwater and then somehow resurfaced to a standing position with his head resting on his arm. Okay? There was still no water in his lungs.
Yeah.
You have to have water in your lungs to drown. That's how drowning works.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and how did he still, after 21 days, have an alcohol level of 0.12?
I got nothing.
Right?
I got nothing.
How does that work? It doesn't.
It does not.
It does not. And so, after the 2019 oxygen special, you know, the state of Michigan was like, oh, yeah, no, we're totally going to look into reopening this. And as of... a year ago when I saw the last posting it has not been. Nothing has happened.
I really hate that.
It's terrible. It's fucking bizarre. I just don't get it. So my sources, it's a Facebook page, Reopen Todd Gieb's Case, that is run by his mother. And that is where I found that as of, I think it was about a year ago, nothing has fucking happened.
That's just...
She's still...
fucking unacceptable.
Still trying.
Unacceptable.
Footprints at the river's edge .blogspot.com, paranormalworld.fandom.com, oxygen.com, Allie Vander Hayden, and journalnews.com.ph, Brent Swanser.
That guy.
On a totally different site. So there you go. It's fucking weird.
It really is.
It's really fucking weird.
Because where was he? For... not 21 days.
Yeah.
But.
He was missing for 21 days.
Yeah. So they think he died between 2 and 5 days before they found his body.
Mm-hmm.
So like 2.5 weeks, where was he?
Yep.
Before he was murdered.
Yeah. He was missing for 21 days and the body was between 2 to 5 days dead.
Yeah.
Based on the decomp.
Oh, that's so weird. I just.
And here's the thing. He wouldn't have been, he wasn't in that water for 2 to 5 days either.
No.
I think that he was in that water. They think that he was in that water. That couple found him within maybe hours.
Woof. That's very scary.
Because they were on a morning walk. So maybe that night even.
Yeah.
But he was not in that water long enough. He was not in that water long enough to have any sand, any bugs. There were no insects on him, in him, nothing. That means he was not in that water long.
Yeah, I don't particularly.
There's no fucking way.
There's really not.
There's no fucking way.
There can't be.
There's no way.
The only thing that I can think of would be he went somewhere, got turned, accidentally died.
Mm-hmm.
And then people panicked because they're like, oh shit, he's been missing and all this. But even then, it still doesn't make sense.
But then...
It would only make sense, or like, if it happened, if they found his body, like, days after that party he'd gone to, that would make more sense, that theory, where he just accidentally passed away.
Sure.
And his friends were like, oh, fuck. And then dumped his body in a marsh.
Yeah.
But or people at the party. But that's not how it happened, because it was 21 days of him being gone.
And you have to force a dead body to stand up in water.
You do.
To his shoulders.
Yeah.
Someone's going to dump a body, they're going to dump a body. They're not going to take the time and effort to weight a body down in some way so that it will stand. And then place him with his arm up and his head resting on his arm.
That, number one, deliberate.
And that.
But it also sounds like they wanted somebody to see him.
Yeah.
As fast as possible.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Or if you want to see him, just dump him in the middle of a road somewhere. Someone's going to find him real quick.
Right? Like what
But again, the autopsy report and his toxicology, okay, his alcohol was 0.12. Maybe that was it. But like there was no... He had traces of those antidepressants in his system, but nothing at the fatal level.
Yeah.
Because then it would have been accidental overdose.
Yeah.
His official cause of death is drowning.
Which clearly he didn't.
No, he didn't. But they couldn't figure out what the fuck happened. So they're like, rrr. Well, this wasn't enough to kill him. This wasn't enough to kill him. He was in water. He drowned. But I'm sorry. I don't know how you can officially say that when there's no fucking water in the lungs.
Yeah. No.
And like, why is he standing?
I don't.
Dead bodies don't do that. Especially in water. They float. Or they sink.
The only thing I can think of is if they had maybe tried, but I mean, it still doesn't make sense because of the way his arm was positioned and stuff, but like if they had tried to weight him and then just floated back up and happened to position that way, but no.
Right, absolutely.
That is way too cartoony of a possibility to be a real thing that happened.
Crazy.
Like, I'm just picturing, like, in a cartoon when somebody steps on a rake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, that's not how bodies work. I don't care how much rigor mortis has set in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're putting a body
into
water like that, that's just not going to be that.
Well, that's the thing about rigor mortis. It sets in and then it goes away. So.
Yeah, I'm just like, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense.
Right.
It's all very fucking weird, and the fact that they have not reopened that case is shameful.
It's pretty appalling. It's pretty appalling. Especially after 2019, after they did that special on Oxygen, and then the state was like, oh yeah, no, resubmit. We're going to look into this. No, clearly they didn't. So.
The justice system is
fucked.
Full of fuckery and bad decisions.
Straight up. Straight the fuck up. So
just as bookended.
Yes.
By
as bookended.
In today's episode.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah.
Good lord.
Mm-hmm. Fucky. Super fucky.
Incredibly fucky.
Mm-hmm. So well, fuck, we done it, y'all.
We did done do it.
We did done do it.
And we done did it again.
We did. We did. So y'all know the drill. Rate, review, subscribe, share. Mm-hmm. If you would like some exclusive motherfucking content, go become a patron on our love patron.
Please do.
Hey, dude.
Hurdy-gurdy.
Yep. All right.
They're all haunted.
Love that for us. All right. Well, till next time, y'all.
Hexes and hoes, y'all.
Hexes and hoes, y'all.
Bye.
Bye. Mwah! Hats off to the fuck you club. Oh, state of California. God, Newsom. You know what, buddy? Kind of fuck you.
That just was a really shitty call, my guy.
Kind of fuck you.
Yeah. And I mean, most especially, fuck you, Leslie Van Outen.
You fuck her.
Just.
Yeah. And
a special fuck you.
And the state of Michigan. Fuck
also,
you, too.
Yeah.
Fuck you, too. Reopen his case.
Good Christ. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Maybe they're involved. Goes all the way to the top.
Jesus Christ. So, all right. Well, fuck. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Hey, fuck you, Bob.
Always.
Fuck you, Bob.
Just always.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Robert.
Especially fuck you, Ted.
Fuck you, Ted. Fuck you, Gwyneth. Kimberly can't read.
She cannot.
Yeah. That's about it.
Harry twat nipple.
Yes, absolutely. I love the way you're just fucking staring at me.
Dude, I can find one.
I can see your brain going. Like, your brain's doing something. I'm just not sure what it is.
It's working. Oh.
Leslie Cooterpuss.
Oh, my gosh.